Afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Friday, December 16th, 2022. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. And I'd like to remind everyone, we currently have the John Stadmiller Book Drive underway. Please, in general, though, folks, help out the station to keep free speech alive. As John Stadmiller himself said, this is the canary in the coal mine of free speech. If RBN goes, you can be sure most all of your First Amendment rights will be soon to follow. And right now, of course, through January 8th, for every $100 donation or more, you'll have your name thrown in the fishbowl each week to potentially win a book from John Stadmiller's personal library, personally owned previously by John himself. All the details are on the website. And of course, ways you can contact us, you can use PayPal to make a donation right on the RBN website donate page, republicbroadcasting.org. You can call to donate at 800-724-2719, extension 3. Or you can mail in that donation, cash, check, money order, payable to RBN, mailing address 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And we greatly appreciate it, folks. Well, we have a roundtable panel here today. We've been doing some shuffling around, trying to see who, clarify who is available and who's not, but we have with us today Mr. David Scorpio. Hey, David. Hey, welcome.
Well, thanks for having me on, Richard, and I'm looking forward to talking with you and the rest of the panel.
Absolutely. Yeah, brilliant. And thanks, by the way, for being able to make it this Friday. We have Paul in California with us, folks. Hey, welcome, Paul. Okay, well, Paul's connection seems to be in and out here a little bit today, folks. I don't know. We've had some weird Skype issues with him so far. I don't know if it's local to his area, you know, where he lives, or I don't know. We'll see if it's something he can work out with his phone bug. I don't know. We may have to disconnect, reconnect, or use a phone.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. It's one of those things where I've tried different things with the headset and also the speakerphone. The headset seems problematic for some reason. Maybe it's my connection inside. Maybe because my phone's so old, you know, where you go in there with the jack and it makes contact. I know stuff like that can happen, but we'll make it work this way right now.
Okay, good. Good enough. And then, yes, we do have Mr. Paul Edward Stevenson here with us. Hello, Paul. Good you could be.
Hi, Richard.
And you're out of town, so I was glad that you could make it. You said you're in Milan?
Yes, in Milan, yeah.
All right, well, yeah, that brilliant that you could make the show while you're visiting loved ones, those close to you. And, we'll see where this takes us today. Paul, in California, had a topic he wanted to address. Paul, if you would, please.
Yeah, great. Now, what I was wanting to talk about with the esteemed panel today, and I had my own thoughts, of course, is this idea of secession, which has been brought up a few times on different shows on RBN. And the other night, Brother Nathaniel mentioned it on his show. Not on his show, his guest appearance on Jeremy's show, and this generated quite a bit of talk and chat and so forth. So I have my own thoughts, which, you know, preceded that, the mention, and then I've further kind of refined my thoughts, but I'd like to toss it out to the panel here and just get, you know, their thumbnail, what they feel about this idea of secession. How about you, David? You want to go first?
Well, actually, secession is something that I've been advocating for several years as probably the only solution to get away from the the weight of this repressive federal government. But it will be a very messy process, and you can expect there to be, you know, military action against any state that tries to do it, just like happened in the War of Northern Aggression, also known as the Civil War. So I do think that at some point that's going to have to happen. But I think the problem right now is they have all the states addicted to federal money for their survival. So it'll be a very painful process, both economically and militarily, to do this. But I do think at one point it will become a viable option as things continue to deteriorate in this country. And I'll tell you right now, guys, the biggest issue we're facing is the absolute flooding of immigrants into this country. And I don't mean illegal immigrants. I mean legal immigrants. It's happening very, very rapidly.
Yes, I agree. So, Paul, over there in Milan, Italy, how's the weather? Nice?
Yeah, well, it's probably 3 or 4 degrees warmer here than it would be in London, because it's a little bit more south. But apart from that, it's very similar, very dreary gray skies, sort of drizzly rain. So nothing to get too excited about. But as I said, at least it's a little bit warmer than London, you know.
Okay, so it's not exactly an Italian winter vacation. So, yeah, I know that I couldn't really say secession is a truly American concept, but I'm sure you can wrap your mind around it. You have any thoughts on this issue?
Yeah, I think we've spoken about this several times, and I think it is a great idea in principle if you can pull it off. But, you know, there's a lot to think about in it, and there's a lot of people, you know, you'd have to get organized and mobilized for that to happen. And you mentioned the money that people are addicted to. You've just got the uncertainty of change that people are addicted to, or sort of people would be concerned about. It's just human nature. But I think you're lucky that you have the option to secede over there, because you've got the land. You've got the landmass. We have nowhere to secede to over here. You know, it's a small island in the UK. Europe's a small island. And I think it's, I think the demographic, I don't even think, let's rephrase that. The demographic shifts are so severe, are so serious, are so vast now that these clowns can call it all that they want about, oh, we need immigration for, you know, for our economy and everything else. They have changed what have typically been pretty stagnant demographics for, you know, centuries, and they've wrecked Europe. They've completely changed. The demographics are not some sort of insignificant little matter, you know. So learn from what's happened over here, because there's no way back. I mean, we've had huge riots over here because every time Morocco plays somebody, even when they won, they won in Belgium. They started rioting in Belgium. The French beat them. You know, when you're talking about France playing Morocco in the semi-final, many of us were laughing and saying, well, what's the difference? You know, France playing France or Morocco playing Morocco? There's so many Moroccans in France. And, of course, the Moroccans, in true sort of respectful fashion of the nation that they are in, of course, they're French citizens with French passports, but they lost to France, and so they started rioting. And they've been rioting all over the place. So, yeah, I ramble. But, yeah, if you can secede and pull it off, I don't think the U.S. military would be a big problem, because I think that is homoized and green-haired freakedized so much that it has lost the young white males and the young strong males in America that would be attracted to the military. So I think you guys, if you secede, would have a stronger a stronger fighting force than what's left in that satanic version of America, you know.
Okay, very well put. Now, I'm assuming that the panel here and Richard, the host, as well as the audience, would now like to hear my take, because I've sort of given the matter some thought here. And I would say, overall, it's better than nothing, but it's a weak, you know, step in the direction that we need to go. So the problem, you know, becomes pretty apparent when you sort of game it out in terms of, okay, what is it likely to occur, and what is going to be the reaction of, for example, the federal government? And not just the federal government, we have to admit at this point that it's not just the federal government, but it's the Zog of the world, and they not they don't only control the press here, which is obvious, but they control the press in Europe and a lot of other parts of the world. I mean, let's face it. So the world press would be against any rogue state, terrorist nation, white supremacist area. I mean, let's say that this idea of some Northwest Territory, you know, parts of Idaho and Washington and Oregon, you know, they want to control their own, you know, territorial destiny, their racial destiny. So they get a little state going and, you know, they have farming and, you know, they have some light industry and they're trading on friendly terms with other states. Well, you know, fast forward into the future, 25, 30 years when, let's say they've just, you know, disbanded the whole idea of elections. I mean, I guess the novelty of stealing and lying has just gotten old for these people. So now we just have the Supreme Rabbinical Council. And they decide, well, you know what, let's go ahead and do this Northwest Territory just like we did Serbia, right? And, you know, to me, it's a dead end if you're not going to consider the long-term goal, which is, of course, a racial conflict with our enemies. Because whether we like it or not, that's coming. And right now we have one main enemy that's in control and is creating all the other racial conflicts. And so to leave them in power, I mean, let's say that even Texas decided to secede and they get their own thing going. And, of course, it's a big, powerful economy, large area, large population. You know, they would have the prospect of raising a sizable, you know, guard or military force. But, okay, so now you have, what, Texas? And maybe let's say now California decides to secede. And, of course, a lot of the rest of the nation would probably be happy with that. And, you know, Governor Gavin Newsom in his fifth term decides, you know what, he's just going to go ahead and let the Chinese take over all the ports. And, you know, since we already have like 20 million Chinese in California by this point, we're going to go ahead and set up a provisional Chinese government outpost here in California, since, of course, we're an independent state now. We can do that. And it's just, in my opinion, it's a mess. It's a train wreck waiting to happen, and it's not the kind of train wreck that we really want or need. You know, so I just look at in terms of, okay, what is it that we should have as a goal? And the number one goal should be to depose the people in power that are in power now. And, you know, that there's various ways that we can talk about that being done. And obviously we can't really have the full discussion on the radio. But if we don't have another goal other than secession, then, okay, Zog still is in power. They control the money, the Fed. They control the media. We know they're in control of the military and the various weapon systems until such time as, you know, enough people inside the military were to take it away from them. And, you know, they could do wherever they want. It really, when you think about it, they could do a Paradise, California, right? Or a Santa Rosa. Anybody that's looked at those photos and seen the blasted out remains of houses and buildings where, you know, there's no way that a fire with flame did that to the building, you know, it's again, in my opinion, it's a dead end. And the last analogy I will use is one of my favorite ones from back in the 80s. What would Rambo do? Would Rambo secede? would Rambo set out to do what Rambo does? And so looking at it from the Rambo lens, I think secession is interesting, but in the end, it's just a paper proposition without mm-hmm. cold, hard reality going down. So my text for the moment, and you guys feel free to react to that.
Well, it seems that we've also managed to get Mr. Davis Lerman connected here today. Yeah, last minute. And we're on the discussion of secession here, Davis. I don't know if you caught much of that, but you know, glad you were able to join. Better late than never. And I don't know, do you have any thoughts on, in general, the concept of secession?
Uh-oh.
Maybe Davis has some mic problem. Maybe.
Oh, no, I didn't know you were asking me.
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Yes, I think secession, I would have to agree with Paul, where it may not just, it would be great if it were only a paper promise, but this, in case anyone hasn't noticed, this completely tyrannical, heavy-handed, constantly defensive of their own illegitimate power, this Fed is not going to let anyone secede. You'll be dead before you secede. That's just the facts. And I don't mean to be defeatist. I'm just saying that's probably not one of these quote unquote political solutions you want to pursue, because 100 years later, when the people already in charge have rewritten the history books to reflect that you were some dangerous insurgency that nearly balkanized America away from our great successful experiment of diversity and multi-cub, blah, blah, blah. No, that's not the way to go. The way to go is persistent calling out of power. There is something to this hive mind idea, not to sound airy-fairy and certainly not to invite that caller who wants to tell us about Kundalini, but certainly there is something about the mass consciousness, or what Chomsky would call the public mind. There is such a thing. And when it reaches a critical mass of knowledge, it literally comes into check with no matter how tyrannical the government, because if everyone knows how illegitimate the government is, and all the government can do is bring force upon you to promote its legitimacy, in quotes, that's not sustainable. So if we need to bring them into checkmate through a non-sustainable recognition of their illegitimacy, that's a lot more effective than trying to secede against the most powerful military power in the world, who frankly acts like a big diapered baby breaking its toys more than it acts like a reasonable statesman.
So an entire state, you feel, would be attacked by the other 49 states under federal control, like a rogue terrorist group with no mercy, basically.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I don't think it would be 49 states like that, although I know why you said that. But yeah, what all these people do is project power, you know, in a kind of a pinpoint fashion. I mean, it's the same thing as these FBI raids or these SWAT team raids. So they do have quote unquote power, and they do have more than just the perception of power. But their perception of power is omni-important, okay? Because when you think about sheer numbers, I mean, what are we talking? The entire, you know, armed forces combined, I don't think exceeds, at this point, a million, you know, if you combine all the different services. And, of course, it's, you know, we're not on a wartime footing. But so how many Americans, really true Americans, could they get to go to war against another state? It just doesn't make any sense. I don't see it happening. I don't think there's ever going to be a conflict like the Civil War again, with two sides and two uniforms. I don't think there's ever going to be a conflict like World War II again. Okay, I don't see that happening. But anyway,
Mr. Scorpio, would you like to comment on those points?
Well, yeah, and it's good to talk to Davis. I appreciate his point of view, and I've heard him on the air in, you know, several different venues in the past. So good to meet you, sir. I think one thing that's interesting, you know, if you look at the possibility, we're doing a lot of speculation here, obviously. And once, if there was to be a state that said we want to break away from the federal government, and there could be a variety of reasons why a state might want to do that. There could even be a liberal state that wants to break away for their own reasons, which would be great, because then it becomes much more difficult to frame the whole process of, oh, it's these evil white supremacist terrorists. But I think once something like that happens, we don't know what the next step will be. So I understand your point about wanting to take down the federal government, but, you know, we have to work incrementally here. And who knows what will happen once one state says, hey, we just don't want to participate in this anymore. We want to chart our own course. You don't know how much support there may or may not be from other sectors, because I'm telling you, the federal government is extremely unpopular with a huge swath of people.
Well, here, we have to break. We'll be right back.
Anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
We are back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey here with a overfilled roundtable, I suppose. I wasn't sure how many people were going to wind up connecting. I wound up with a considerable amount of participants. So we have six gentlemen here. Of course, Paul in California, Paul Edward Stevenson, David Scorpio, Davis Lurman, and we have Stephen Douglas Whitener, who just joined us. And Mr. Stevenson, by the way, Davis Lurman was the gentleman I was referring to who had been on Renegade Broadcasting in the past when I was on there. After Truthcat Radio, when I was on Renegade, it was parallel to him, so I appreciated a lot of his shows on there. I know since then he had been on Revolution Radio, which Paul Edward Stevenson here had also been doing a show on for quite a while. So I don't know if you gentlemen may have seen each other's names over at Revolution.
I haven't been on Revolution for a little while, obviously, but I can't, when was it 2018, I think, or was it 19? I don't know.
And since we have Stephen Douglas Whitener here with us now, South Carolinian with a strong mind for secession. Now let's hear his thoughts.
Okay. Yeah.
We're on mute again.
Yeah, sorry. The mute. Can you hear me now? Sorry, fellas. Yeah. Well, it's almost the session day, you know, and it didn't go so well the last time, but I think I generally agree with that. It's better than nothing. That's about a point I could make. You know, it just, you need to secede in your mind to start with. It's like, where does the word freedom come from? I was thinking as you guys were talking earlier, and it comes from the free dominion. I mean, the last free dominion left on earth, it seems like, is our mind. So that's what, and they're coming after that too. But other than that, I've just been enjoying the discussion. And Secession Day is December 20th. That's when South Carolina seceded to start with, back in the, during the last time.
Well, here, Davis, history.
Mm-hmm. Davis, you wanted to make a point. I see you asked something in the chat. You said, who mentioned taking down the Fed?
Correct, yeah. So that's I have just wanted to perhaps either clarify if this is someone's position. It's not mine, and I don't think we should be advocating that sort of thing. It makes you a real target for no good reason. It's just sort of screaming into the wind. Any plan I foresee would not be taking down the Fed. In fact, secession could legitimately be seen as not really taking down the Fed. It would just be a different system of putting them into check. So my checkmate strategy of sort of just doing adjacent politics that nibble away at their legitimacy by siphoning off Jimmy Dore leftists and TRS-type rightists, that brings the system into legitimacy check, which is what they covet the most, as you can see from their reaction to just about any impingement on their power. They just overreact like they screech, and they well, you've seen it, very heavy-handed. Like this was January 6th reaction was just, it's absurd. It's almost absurdist comedy, the way they paint the events of the day, and they still go on. They're going to give themselves medals for this. Well, they already gave the Black Assassin one, but they'll probably give all of them medals soon. It'll just be a yearly event now. They just recognize their strength and power and how they were vigilant against the insurgency. So that's how they're going to paint it. So this business of, you know, dangerous sort of approaches like straight out secession on, I mean, just, I don't think it would get past the paper that it's even a paper promise of, but that's just me. It didn't work out great the last time. Paul makes a good point. Who they're going to send in, but they have, unfortunately they have all kinds of mechanisms to borrow foreign mercenary groups. They have that, and maybe we could return to some of the UN paranoia of the mid-70s, where as I've read, they evidently, it was the John Birch type wing of things, was looking closely at the UN saying, oh, they could send blue helmets in anywhere. You know, they still could do that. You could have Somalis on the streets of America. Do you think they'll be handling us with kid gloves? Do you think the mercenaries from the Balkans would be handling us with kid gloves? No, I don't think so.
And just real quickly for the panel, if you haven't seen it, you know, and I have not finished watching it, a lot of it's hard to watch, but there's a so-called movie. It's White Privilege, the movie. And, you know, it's like an hour plus. And, you know, there's a lot of footage of, shall we say, non-white violence and hostility targeting white people. And of course, you know, they sketch the overall picture. So, you know, again, with all due respect to all political ideas and diplomatic ideas, they're all valid. And in many ways, this is an onion we have to keep peeling to get to where we want to go. But we can't ever lose sight of where it is we want to go. Because these people that are doing these things to us, they know where they want to go. And they're getting there. And so, I mean, in the end, there just has to be enough of us who are just not going to play nice anymore. And it's kind of like, you know, I just feel bad for overall what's occurred with the so-called white race, because I think that we should have been for centuries, just like Teddy Roosevelt talked about, walk softly but carry a big stick and swing pretty fast.
Well, here we have the bottom of the hour break on us already. Sure. Interested to hear feedback from Mr. Scorpio and Stevenson when we return. We'll be right back.
By going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Beyond the official narrative. Public Broadcasting, Richard Carey here with a full panel roundtable. We have Paul in California, Paul Edward Stevenson, Davis Lerman, David Scorpio, and Stephen Douglas Whitener. Mr. Scorpio, were you by chance the one who Davis was referring to? It mentioned something along the lines of taking down the Fed, or maybe you phrased something to that?
No, I believe it was Paul that mentioned that, and okay. I don't think that's viable or a good thing to, talk about, frankly. I just want to finish up my thought here. Once something like this comes into play, like a state simply saying, we wish everyone well, we just don't want to participate anymore, and this could happen for a variety of reasons. Now, once that happens, we don't know what the next steps are going to be. And if the government, the federal government, actually starts, shooting people, killing people, I don't think you can assume that's going to become very popular with the masses, even with the Zog media portraying it as a wonderful struggle against evil. I think, they've lost a lot of legitimacy here over the last couple of years, especially. So I think once something like that comes into play, there's so many unknowns that will come into fruition here, and we don't know where it'll go, but it certainly will be a very exciting time if that does ever happen. But we're a long way from that, because I believe at this point all the governors are controlled. They have handlers that make sure that they don't step too far out of line.
Paul Stevenson.
Yeah, I don't think there's any easy answer to it all. And you guys over there, as I say, you've got that, at least it's something you could have as an option, or at least try with secession. The other thing is you could there's a group over here, for example, who tried it, because we're dealing we're all in Europe dealing with the same people and the same problems as you are in America. Okay, there's different nuances, but largely it's the same. crowd that we're up against. And there was a massive raid in Germany. I don't know whether you guys are aware of this. They're called on the Reich Citizens Movement. Now, these people don't recognize the legitimacy of the German state, and they don't believe the legitimacy of the German state since World War II, and they don't believe that Germany ever got free in any meaningful way since the end of World War II, and has been basically an occupied nation. I would have to largely agree with that. Now, they want to go back to essentially, 1871 type territory, and will be much more aligned with Adolf Hitler and National Socialist view of an independent, genuine Germany. But these guys are obviously some sort of threat, because the biggest mobilization of the German police was conducted. 3,000 of the German police in a massive operation searched 130 sites in 11 of Germany's 16 states. 25 people were detained. Now, these are not your typical sort of young skinhead thugs or even young people or whatever. One of these guys, the leader of this group, I think, is a 65-year-old aristocrat. They also have a current serving judge in Germany as part of this group. So these are serious people. But there was many arrests. Now, these sorts of arrests on, as they would call, far-right, quote, extremists, quote, white supremacists, quote, conspiracy theorists, because that's how it's just constantly churned out when this story was covered. They're not that rare, but on this kind of scale, this is unprecedented. So they obviously see the threat by this group, because it was conducting a coup against the German government, to which I thought, well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, because the Zionists run West. It conducts coups all the time, including the foundational problem of the current meat grinder bloodbath in the Ukraine. And John Bolton is on record for admitting that the United States, in quotes, the United States conducts coups all the time. But this was seen as a great threat. Now, that's what you could expect if you got organized, because this group is supposed to be 20,000 plus members. So you would feel the full might of the FBI in the same way that these people felt the full might of the German police force and the special police force,
Right.
Stephen Whitener, you had a point you wanted to make.
I just wanted to ask Paul a question. If this group that you're describing, do they kind of live more like the Amish in some instances, were very off to themselves a bit? I think I know the people that you're describing, and I did not hear about this raid. That's tragic right there.
I don't know about that. What I do know is they're not your average kind of what you might, sort of the stereotype of how it at least presented. One of them is an aristocrat, and one of them is actually a current serving judge in Germany. And from other sources I've read, there's some other quite sort of high up kind of people in German society. Which doesn't surprise me, by the way. What people don't know about the IRA was, the IRA was full of doctors and teachers and lawyers and all sorts of people who were mobilized against the British state, people you would never expect. And that's the same in Germany. And there's huge unrest in Europe now. And you're going to see all sorts of fractures. You're already seeing all sorts of fractures in Europe with the European Union and NATO, the Czech Republic. You've had huge protests there, Hungary. They're not playing ball with the EU, and there's some very strange, ironic stuff going on with Poland, who are stopping aid to Ukraine. I mean, Europe's all over the place at the minute, and, who knows where borders are going to get drawn and redrawn. Who knows what's going to happen in Ukraine. Russia is currently in the process of completely destroying the place. Can they afford to even, what are they going to do with it after if they find themselves in that position? That's going to be a huge drain on them. Is that what the U.S. plan is, to let Russia destroy Ukraine and then, drain its resources, trying to run the place and trying to repair the place? I don't know. It's going to be a very fascinating sort of 18 months, 2 years,
Well, here, I see we have some callers in the queue. So for the sake of time here, let's toss it back to Davis one more time, and then maybe we could take some of these callers.
Sure, I'll be quick then. So, yeah, I do believe that geopolitics played on the chessboard as it is, I do think that there are perhaps adjacent agendas that take priority we don't usually catch on to. And the last man who spoke just mentioned one of them, is that for the reason why Israel's been so silent and the reason why they can't take sides in this matter officially, and the reason why the U.S., as usual, having the tail wag the dog, is doing Israel's bidding, is very likely because they would like to put such strain upon Russia, no matter the cost to individual Ukrainians or United States citizens or freezing Europeans this winter, no matter the cost, they want to put such undue pressure on Russia such that they need to pull out of Syria. That would be what Israel wants, and it appears that's the track we're on. It's weird how it always works out like that. We're always doing things for Israel instead of ourselves. Crazy.
Yeah, strange, huh?
Well, here, we have some callers. Rick in Arizona. Hey, welcome, and thanks for holding. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good afternoon, gents. I think the only state that would really be able to succeed would be like North Dakota. They got agriculture, they got oil, they got billions of dollars on deposit from oil taxes. They have their own bank. And that's probably your only shot. You see, the government controls your Social Security deposits. They can strangle that. I guess what the only thing you got left is read the Turner Diaries. And that's about it. You know, because you know you fight fire with fire with these people, and you'll see how quickly they will buckle. You know, these people are all, you know, they're all hidden behind their black and transvestite politicians. But
that's a good point. I just want to react briefly. I know I've had plenty of time today. I appreciate that. But, you know, here's the thing. I don't recall talking about the Fed. And, of course, I think we're assuming that I meant the federal government and not the Federal Reserve and blah, blah, blah. So, but here's the thing. I don't see, when you look at things in their essence, okay, I don't see, quote, the federal government. I see men and groups of men. Okay, this goes back to when I started getting educated in the law, and somebody told me so many years ago, you can't be introduced to the state of California, or can you shake hands with the county of Santa Clara? These things don't exist, they're legal fiction. So I kind of see things in terms, you know, from an existential point of view as just men and groups of men. Okay, they do exist. Those pieces of biology exist. They live somewhere, they work somewhere. I believe that they can be located and, you know, perhaps, you know, served breakfast in bed. So, you know, in the end, I think the caller makes a great point that, you know, I think that what Hitler said or was attributed to him, that, you know, the whole stinking, you know, crumbly mess will come down with one good swift kick. It might take more than one, but I think some unified action here and there in small groups is going to go a long way, because people will be happy when things start to happen. I mean, if Trump had arrested some of the deep state, if Trump had arrested members of the press, if Trump had basically taken over with a nationalist, racialist agenda, he would have been far more popular than he was.
Rick?
Thanks.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, we can try these people in absentia and go after them. Don't wait to go get them and try them. Try them in absentia and then go after them. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you,
Rick. I appreciate it. And we have Tom in Florida. Hey, welcome, Tom. Hey, thanks for holding. What's on your mind, sir?
Good day, Richard. Good day, gentlemen. Very good show. Good call, last call. Yeah, Richard, let's talk about this. Before we go talk about segregation, let's talk about reparations they're going to do in California with this new something going to give all these Afro-Americans that was never a slave state $350,000. I think that's going to be the doing of the United States, because right then and there, you're going to see all these other groups. The Irish are going to – why don't the Irish get money? For they were the first slaves, the indentured slaves, the Irish.
So they're white.
Is going to lead to yeah, exactly. They're going to pull the pin out of the hand grenade here now. Because when they start paying this reparation nonsense, and over the Civil War that happened over 180 years ago, this is going to do on the United States, Richard and gentlemen. But also, we got to look at Texas. Texas right now, Texas is being invaded, and right there, you know, the Zionist media is great by calling the Ku Klux Klan or neo Nazis. But you know what? The white Anglo's got to rally around one word, and it was started during the Revolutionary War. It's called the Minutemen. All the white Anglo males should start calling themselves the Minutemen, and or whatever you can use as a revolutionary type thing from the founding fathers from the Revolutionary War. Because right now, Richard, we're facing a Zionist media that hates white America with a passion, and it all stems from what's going on with Germany, of course, I don't want to go there because I know how you feel about that, Richard, but we got to go back to what's up. Now, they're going to start paying out these Afro-Americans that lived in California $350,000. So let's suppose that happens. Then they're going to start paying out the ones in Alabama and out of Georgia. Richard, it's going to be the undoing of the United States right then and there. We're being invaded. Nobody's talking about this invasion that's really hitting the mainstream media. Don't want to talk about it. They're just picking
up. What do you mean? Everybody's talking about it, Tom. I don't know what you mean by nobody's talking about it. Everybody's talking about it. And I don't
know. What I meant to say is that the mainstream media did not say nothing for years. Fox News and a couple other networks, yes, Newsmax. But these other CNN and all these communist news networks never gave a damn about this invasion. But now they're going to realize, you know, they talk about the Green New Deal. These people are not coming here to compliment. They're going to come here to consume. They have to have cars. They have to have food. They have to have water. There's going to be water wars and food wars coming up in this country. So that's happening here now.
Well, Tom, here, let's get some feedback for you from more of the panel. A feedback for you. David Scorpio.
Well, first of all, reparations are never going to happen. That's a pipe dream. It's never going to happen. It's something they just put out there to stir up the pot. There's so many logistical problems to it that it'll simply never happen. And I think, you know, as bad as the border situation is, which it's terrible, it's a wide open border right now, as bad as that is, the real problem is legal immigration. 1 million people a year are let in legally from all over the world, and each one of those people can bring up to 10 family members with chain migration legally.
Right.
The big problem is legal immigration. To some degree, as bad as this border situation is, it's a red herring. The real problem is legal immigration. As long as people just keep accepting, oh, we're going to let 1 million people in a year legally, and that doesn't even include the United Nations resettlement program, which is very hard to get, or refugee resettlement program, very hard to get numbers on that. So the real damage is being done 100% legally.
Yes, and just to add to that point, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, Richard, can I say this? Here in South Florida, the white Anglo population, and when I was in high school, Grant was at, like I told you, 80%. There's not one white male or female on the Miami-Dade County Commission. Broward County's going to be the same way here in the next few years. These people never came to the compliment. They came here to devour. They're devouring us. We've allowed it. We are still the majority white. We are still the majority. We can hold off this this incursion. But if we do not stop it right now and rally the white Caucasian Northern Europeans to our cause, we're going to lose this country. The Zionists will never say they're white. You can ask most Jews, are you white? They'll say, I'm not white. I'm a Jew. So there's your problem right then and there. You've got
to realize
we're being manipulated, and we've got to stop this at all costs. Because, listen, the microcosm, if you want to see what's going to happen to the rest of the country, look at Southern Orange County, California. Look what's going on in Southern California, San Diego, or look at South Florida, the Dade County. That's your model of what's going to happen to the country.
We know.
The Germans, of course, they play both sides, Tom.
The Germans are in the majority of the country, never own slaves.
You know, when
the Germans never own slaves.
Tom, they play both sides. I mean, when it's to their advantage to come off as white, when they're speaking out with anti-white rhetoric, for example, they'll do so. Or to make whites look bad, you know, they'll be identifying as white for their social media posts or whatever. I mean, there are so many examples side by side, the same profiles. Jews will pick whether they're identifying as Jewish or not, depending on the optics.
Of course.
I wanted to just quickly, I wanted to buttress what David was talking about also, because I know from my firsthand experience with a client many years ago, probably in the 90s, it was an older woman that I was talking to about this issue, immigration in the Bay Area. What was most problematic to me, of course, was massive Asian immigration. And she worked at the Social Security office, and she confided to me with a knowing look and a smile on her face. She goes, you know, Paul, there's a questionnaire that these people answer when they're in the office applying for, you know, Social Security, you know, SSI and other benefits. And she says that question, one of the questions is, how long have you been in the country? And she says to me, care to guess the typical answer from a lot of these Filipinos and Chinese and others that are coming here? I said, no, what? She says, one day. See, so they come here, they already know. They've already gamed the system. They know how to get benefits. And this is why, I mean, because I always have posed to myself, do they all have great jobs? Are they all super high-tech computer geniuses making great money driving Mercedes and BMWs? No, that's how they do it. They get benefits like all the other races do. So, yeah.
Well, hey, Paul, Richard, Chinese from California went into Georgia. How do you think Georgia turned up to be a purple state and go against Trump on the last election? They brought almost 85,000 Chinese nationals in from San Francisco to Atlanta. So there's your problem, right? And they all voted. They all had them ready to register to vote.
We're here, Tom. Thank you so much for your call. We're at the last break. Thank you, Tom.
It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
Congress is planning to give the Pentagon a raise. I'm Peter Serafine with this week's Liberty Minute and a reminder to use code LIGHTHOUSE at ZStackLife.com to supercharge your immune system this cold and flu season. I am all for the United States having the largest, most expensive military on the planet, but the Pentagon has failed their financial audits 5 years in a row. In the most recent audit, the U.S. military cannot account for over $2 trillion in assets. Maybe the military needs to spend less time trying to understand white rage and trying to force an experimental vaccine on the healthiest people around and start focusing on protecting our nation and her assets. $2 trillion in lost assets is worth investigating. People need to be fired. I say no more budget increases until the Department of Defense fixes their accounting. If you and I failed 5 consecutive audits, we'd be in federal prison. Just like the rest of government, the Pentagon needs to remember that money and those assets belong to we the people. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Cephas Pashem, Parabellum.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
And we are back for the final segment, Beyond the Official Narrative. Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey with a full panel roundtable. Paul in California, Paul Edward Stevenson, David Scorpio, Davis Lerman, and Stephen Douglas Whitener. Stephen, did you have a final comment for the panel?
Well, you know, I had mentioned that it didn't turn out well for the South when the South seceded back December 20th during the last war. And it didn't turn out very well for the Donbass either back in 2014 when they seceded from this empire, you know, whatever you want to call it. And now what's going on there? They're in the dark. And I want to caution people not to get set up because they want to get us to act too soon and set us up to paint us all as terrorists. People who talk like this said not only truth, they called us out. We got to be careful. I was thinking more along lines of these false flags, you know, that they're running with the drag queen story hour and with the this and that. We got to watch what we do.
That makes me think another good point, that if you do have a secession, that really gets going for the state and a few other states who at least verbally support it, where it's not being taken down quite yet, you will have Jewish infiltration into that secession enclave, to be sure. But I don't know, who else on the panel would like to make another comment? Davis?
Certainly. Well, yeah, I think we've peeled away some of the layers, as Paul has mentioned before. Although hearing the call today reminds me how we really should be talking to each other a lot more, just about how we want to refine our position, kind of like what we're doing today, only, and I'm not being hypercritical, it's just sometimes I hear a call like that is very common, where you get this kind of conservative, adjacent, constitutionalist, you know, the Constitution will solve everything, but we really need to rethink all of this, become an American futurist, because frankly, the Constitution is what got us here. That's undeniable. Okay, that is like prima facie evidence. I'm not saying it's not a great document. I'm just saying whatever we followed got us here. I'm not willing to do that again. I'm not willing to do that again.
And let's hear from overseas again. Paul Edward Stevenson.
Yeah, well, I think everyone would echo that when you boil it all down, the problem that we're facing is a demographic threat. I mean, now you have, you know, the three major cities in England, including the capital, which are 38% white, but you also have Birmingham and Manchester, which are minority white countries as well. And when the US was set up and when that document was set up, I don't think the founding fathers ever before seen the demographic shifts. And of course, it was Jewish groups who undermined and the Constitution and subverted the country to open up the borders. And we've had the same thing done here. So now we're dealing with something we've never dealt with before, these unprecedented demographic shifts. So it's all new to everybody. What is the solution to this? I don't know.
Well, thank you all you gentlemen for your points and contributions today. It was an honor to have you all here on the panel at once.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
And thank all you guys for listening today.
Listen, please help out the station with your donations, folks, and participate in the John Stadmiller book drive. You'll find rotating banners with all the details. Own a book previously owned in John's personal library. Name is chosen with every $100 donation. But please keep the canary in the coal mine of free speech alive. We will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.